This is Twit.
The first screensavers wasn't the first screensavers. First, well, we called it the Revenge of the Screensavers. I think you may remember. And but the first one was just us sitting around after a Macworld at a brew pub, right, chatting. And you had, you saw that picture, Jason, because somebody tweeted the picture to David Prager of the group. Now you may notice there's one person missing from that group, missing here today, and that's Kevin Rose, who was going to be here. Had to get on a plane, couldn't make it. He has sent a video greeting, which we'll play a little bit later. But look how fresh-faced Kevin looks. He looks so young there. Roger Chang, that's Patrick Norton's hair sticking out. That's where you left it. You might want to check. The still lovely Sarah Norton to your left, David Prager and me. And we just, I had a recorder, and I was very spontaneous. I didn't plan it. I said, hey, let's just talk. We talked for 20 minutes. 30,000 people downloaded that episode. And I thought, boy, it'd be great if we.
It was 30,000 people in like the first day, and then it got huge, up to like 130,000 in three weeks. Yeah, you were like, I think we have a thing here. We have a situation.
We got to do. But you were all in different places, and it wasn't. You know, Kevin was in L.A., and just it wasn't practicable to do a show. And then I think it was on the radio show a couple months later. Somebody called him via Skype. I said, "Wow, that sounds good. What if a light went off? We could do a show, and everybody be on Skype." So it was April. It was on, in April of 2005 that I said, let's just try this. We'll call it. We didn't have a name. No. The Revenge of the Screensavers. I have a list of things. You weren't here, John, but you came soon after. But
I was snubbed.
You, Patrick, decided you were leaving Sprint for Verizon. Who's your carrier now?
AT&T.
Yeah, so you
I was on Verizon for a whopping fickle 3 months because, yeah, I moved into a hole in the outer sunset of San Francisco where Verizon did not work.
Yeah.
I had to walk two blocks to use my phone.
Verizon seems to be getting worse around here. I don't know if it's worse in San Francisco. Kevin said he hated his Trio 650. That was his phone.
That was kind of the first smartphone, I think.
Is that the one that had the lid that flipped?
It had a keyboard. It was the first one that had like keyboard. It had a keyboard, and it was kind of like a device where you could multitask.
It was running Palm OS, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It was right, like a Palm Pilot with a keyboard and right, CDMA radio.
He said he wants better screen resolution and a better camera. There it is.
Funny.
That looks like a BlackBerry. That's on Sprint. Everybody was excited for Verizon VCast.
I don't even remember that.
What was
how
that?
Was that? I think they were going to do streaming TV on.
Yeah, it was like a media. It was some sort of streaming media.
It was their horrible, like, you know, the antenna or the screen would flip out of the phone. You'd be able to watch television over Verizon's network.
And it
was horrendous.
Work. Yeah. Robert Herron said, "I'm using Nextel."
Oh man!
But I don't like the chirp sound when you push to talk.
I missed that push to talk.
You lived on push to talk.
That worked really well. But you know what, though? I ended up donating that phone to a good cause, so it went. It didn't.
You
go,
remember it?
Oh yes. It was the first color display I had on a phone.
What was the tax write off you took?
I took no tax write off on that one.
$10.
Nowadays, I tend to save every smartphone I have now since like for a few generations at least. So,
which leads us into a gazelle commercial.
I'm just going to check here because. No, I did it too. It's, you know, the sad thing is it's accelerated, and the flagship phones have accelerated. So if your desire is to see what all the flagship phones and how they work are, it's almost impossible to keep up now. But isn't it funny, 10 years from now,
we'll say, keeping up.
And Leo was talking about his Galaxy S6 Edge. What a terrible, isn't that, that's pretty. Though.
This is your favorite thing in the world.
It is. I am in love with it. It's my new lover until Friday when my new lover will arrive.
What is that?
The Apple Watch.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
David, you're a watch guy. I remember for a long time you wore a stolen Tag Heuer.
I did. No, it wasn't a stolen one. It was a fabrication of it. What looked like a tag.
Oh, you said guy walked up to you on the street and you said, you want to buy this for $50.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't real. No, I bought it for like $10.
$10.
No, but I think about
it
watches, I think, is that, and I don't know if, how much, it totally applies to Apple Watches, but I used to think the fact that you could put the equivalent of a car on your arm is pretty dumb. I thought, like, I don't understand why you need something the price of a car to put on your arm. But then you start thinking about the mechanics of it and the machining of it and the moving parts, and it's a piece of art.
Are you moving to watch, Phil?
I'm not becoming a huge watch guy, but I can appreciate and understand how a watch can be a piece of fine art from a mechanical perspective. It is far removed from, I think, the discussions around smartwatches.
I agree.
But the thing is, people are trying to compare them. That's why, like, you know, a few weeks ago, Kevin was writing all about the gold edition. Why are you paying extra money for, you know, 18-karat gold that's worth X? And I kind of agree on
that. He said it's a douchebag detector.
Yeah. Well, because there's one thing is putting a smartwatch that has capabilities on your arm, and then there's one but putting a gold leaf on it.
Well, it's like we just bought my son his first watch. It's a Timex, right? And if it was the Apple Timex, hold on.
My first watch. You think your son needs a watch?
Yeah, to tell time. It's part of, you remember? Kids have to learn how to tell time.
Do they do the Pi Face time? Do they do analog time?
Let's not even go into the educational aspect of it, because
my kids do not know how to tell time with hands.
Yes, well.
Big hand, little hand. Remember that? They don't know that.
You know, if my children wake up in 1941 and have to figure out whether or not to get out of the boat, they're going to know what time it is.
You're
But I laugh, right? Because, like, but if you take, you know, the $27 Timex watch my son has and, you know, electroplate it, it suddenly becomes a $10,000 watch with the same delete expletive $27 innards inside of it.
Well, wait a minute, though. That is not electroplated.
That's giving it to him.
And Kevin estimated it's about $2,000 worth of actual gold.
Okay, it's $2,000 worth of actual gold. It's the ruby crystal. Like, the only thing I want off that watch is the ruby crystal, which you can get in the
less expensive.
Sapphire, pardon me.
Woohoo!
In theory, like, I break screens like you open bottles of wine. It just happens, and it happens constantly.
So just by accident.
I can't get the sport.
Yeah,
yes.
Patrick breaks everything.
It's awesome, but it's like
we were thinking of a new show. So we're going to announce a new show during the show.
Okay.
So we're brainstorming ideas, and I got one: chair aerobics with Patrick Norton. You sit in a chair, but you have a sledgehammer, and you lift it, you move it, you put. I think it'd be a great show.
Don't we have a video of you with a ball popping underneath you?
I think we do. You want to see it?
Let's fire that.
All right, I have the clip here. It's clip number 7, please, of 33.
Number 7. Okay, that's the audio-only one. This is the original one, right?
Okay, so this is the first time it popped, but it wasn't on...
it wasn't on video.
On video.
Different game entirely.
The right build order and getting the right macro set up. It's bonkers.
Oh, man.
As Will Harris is talking.
I just had a little explosion here.
My exercise ball popped.
too many thumbnails.
Is that keeling over?
So people know this by now, but I like to sit on a ball during the shows because it keeps you moving around. We used to do the whole show stand-up, but I don't want to do 2 hours. These shows are too long, stand-up, and I'm too old, so I sit on a ball. And Colleen, who was our chief engineer, we love Colleen Henry. She's so great. She was our chief engineer at the time. She said, Leo, you're buying expensive balls from Gopher Sport. I can get them for you cheaper. There's a Chinese company that makes the same. It's the same ball, Leo. So we got Chinese balls.
It's not the same guys that made my fake tag watch?
A lot of people have said that about you.
Yeah, but your fake tag watch is still running.
I know.
And show the video. So even after the first one burst, you'd think I'd have learned. But we got a second one, and now this one had sprung a slow leak, and I thought, oh, this will be funny. I'll ride it down.
Mistakenly.
Doesn't quite work like that.
Oh, listen to that.
By the way, notice the great book, PowerShell in Action. I have a skill.
I punched a hole in my ball. This is terrible. This is terrible.
This is so funny. I'll slide down.
I'm sinking.
Yeah, no.
The trap door opens.
The funny thing is, if you don't hurt yourself,
it's like a million views on
that. You can't stop.
So is that one of the Chinese ones?
Yeah.
So you're a Chinese ball buster.
I'm not against China.
Give it to him. Give it to him, Roger. Don't put up with that.
Hey, don't look at me. It's not mine.